Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. We got a good one lined up for you tonight, where we can open the Holy Word of God and take into account those things necessary. Now, we're not talking about the unnecessary things. We're all burdened down with the unnecessaries, but we're going to talk about the necessary things that it takes for us to overcome Mystery Babylon. That's our message, part two, that we're going to get into tonight and open the books on the subject tonight of our understanding of how to escape the clutches, the deceit, and we're talking about spiritual wickedness in high places when we talk about the deceit of darkness of the agenda of the wicked. If the scriptures are correct, if the times and the signs are correct, we're living, perhaps, if you look at it from the Babylonian standpoint, probably the most precious opportunity time for Babylon to actually come through circle and obtain the power that she's always wanted. Now, why would they want this power to rule over the subjects upon the earth, to cause all? You know, this is the in relationship, to cause all to receive a mark in their hand, which is the supporting people that support the system. Or in the forehead. In other words, you have an understanding that you support the system that is designed. Now, let's look at Christianity in relationship, because we look here in the 16th chapter of the book of Revelations, for I saw three unclean spirits like frogs, and then, of course, it uses frogs here to denote something unclean, a plague to man. Remember that one of the plagues, one of the signs that was displayed in Egypt was that the land was filled with frogs. And this is the epitome of the power of the destructive, unclean, destructive power of Babylon. Now, I told you that the Father himself in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, gave the authority to these spirits. And he himself energized these spirits and told them to go forth. And he also sent the masses a strong delusion through these false prophets. I'm telling you, if you go to these churches, you can get caught up in their method of worship, their sumai way, but where's you been enlightened? Oh, man, once you see through the veil, the curtain that they pull around the heart, and the Bible talks about the veil of the Mosaical curtain, the world is sorrow cloud, those that stand out in the graveyards and mourn, their parents and for their children and things, those things just going on, somebody can't do nothing about. Then they'll pass you up on the road, broken down on the side of the road. These Sunday to go to Christian, go to meeting Christians, they wouldn't give you half your edge in a jug. They wouldn't bring you a gallon of gas. They wouldn't bring you out a mobile. They wouldn't assist you while you're living. But you let this same individual that needs help when he's alive, watch him pass by, but he dies. The world is sorrow. We'll gather around and we'll walk around the caskets and shed tears and get this mournful spirit of Ireland and remorse and woe is all, it takes effect. And that's what I'm talking about. But once you've been enlightened with the Spirit, once you see through the facade, once you understand the level of deception, once you understand, tonight I'm going to talk to you about who the true people of God really are. Now, Babylon will express itself that it's a multicultural assembly of a worldwide close-knit family of Christians. Now, that's the Christian message. The missionary spirit, if you tune in, and I hope you don't, because if you do, you know, you're going to practically wasting your time. If you have any understanding, you know that. But if you are not aware of these things, and you don't have any understanding of where the mystery of Babylon would lead you to, you get caught up in Christianity. And I understand a lot of people are out there. I'm going to have some of you that are listening to me now. I don't mean this in such a degrading way that to be a Christian is not to be cool. But because you only know what you know, and you can only walk where you see light. And the Bible says you see the light walk in. So that's why we're here, to sort of put a, we don't want to splash cold water on your faith. We don't want to take your garment and strip you naked. We like to add to your faith from where you've come from. I said last night I spent 30 years before I found out the mystery of Babylon, before I saw the mystery. Now, the mystery of Babylon, I told you in the fifth chapter of Revelations last night, that you have to see it through the eyes of the Lamb, not the lion. If you believe that the Jews, quote unquote, are God's chosen people, you have been bitten with the spirit of the whore, the harlot, that has caused every woman upon the earth, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book, to drink of the wine of her fornication. Now, notice this. So he carried me away the spirit. When I saw here the three unclean spirits, now this is a spirit to oppose the spirits, the unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of a false prophet. Now who's that beast there? Well, we've always been told that the beast is the Church of Rome. If most of you Bible scholars and believers will understand that this is the Roman Empire that raised up in the last days. But if you believe that, you might be deceived somewhat. And I'll tell you why. The power behind the Roman Empire. For instance, if you was to really look at the Roman Church, its power, its influence, its riches, and to the extent that kings of earth do court the Pope, who is the chief spokesman for the Catholic Church, Catholic meaning universal. So the universal Christian Church is centered around the foundation maker, and that would be the Catholic Church. Well, what about the true Church? Well, she was driven underground by the Church of Rome. Rome compromised, as the world is very capable of doing. People out here to these preachers, you know, they'll preach anything that you want to hear. And so most churches have found out if you preach a little truth and a whole lot of tradition, you'll get a big crowd. If you preach a lot of truth and a little tradition, you'll have a few. Now, the more truth you preach, the less tradition you'll have. Now, when you come out of tradition, Christ spoke of those who would keep tradition to replace his commandments. Full well, he said. Full well, meaning that with the full extent of the expression of the Spirit speaking that in the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, even to forbidden to marry. Now, you know what that provoked in this unholy church. The greatest organization of homosexuality with robes, black robes and red skull caps, are walking around and and holy. And Elazim's a very convenient place because of the forbidden to marry has produced within her the foul spirit of every unclean spirit. She became the habitation of every unclean spirit upon the earth. Now, promotion. Who promotes now? Now, what you see behind the scenes, I'm sort of framing this up to see you give you a physical church. But I want to see if you can see the great power of Mystery Babylon behind the brick and mortar. Who actually formulated the deceit within this great power that would cause all of the world to wonder after it and to receive the mark? And the Bible said the mark is a number of the moon. Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. There is a innocent group here known as Christians and Jews. Now, they formulated together a plan. Now, this is the most compelling story that has ever been told. And that is this. That the Jews are basically God's chosen people. And the Christians are Gentiles. You know, the Roman people, the most of the white Caucasian started out in Christianity, the Caucasian race. Well, Rome was the center base for all this formulation of a church that professed Christ. Now, when these two spirits came up against one another, in other words, the Jews, who claim that the Messiah hasn't come yet, and Christianity claims that the Messiah came 2,000 years ago in the person or by the name of Jesus, then we had a conflicting account. Now, here's the marvel of that. How wonderfully a lie woven. And a doctrine was hatched out of the pits of hell to say, through the Christian ministries that went forth in the earth when they were confronted with the Jews, the Antichrist Jews, wherever they encountered them, they used an excuse for them and said, oh, they've been blinded. They can't see because they're blind, and the God, Christ, blinded them until the Gentiles could come in. And so then Christians became known as Gentiles, and Jews became famous for saying the Gentile, the Goyim. In the Talmud, you need to read the Talmud if you want to understand where the Jewish religion comes from and what their holy Bible is. It has nothing to do with the Christian Bible of the New Testament. Matter of fact, that is an insult. They spit every time they hear the thought that the Messiah came in the personage of Jesus Christ. Now, that works out quite well because the Christianity justifies them for doing that by saying that they are blind. But I want to go again to Romans chapter 11 and give you a little comprehensive instruction here about the error of that teaching. Now, I know because I've been there and I've done that. I preached for 30 years that the Jews was God's chosen people. And until I run into a hard-headed Israelite that really knew what he's talking about and really set me back and put me back in the mode of trying to learn, you know, like, do your first work over. If you did it wrong, ladies and gentlemen, don't build any father on a falsehood or an error. The way to replace a bad habit is put a good in its place. So when you have lied or believe the lie, you refrain yourself from any longer after you've heard the truth to turn from your wicked ways and ask forgiveness, and the Father is just to forgive you. Now, if you go on in to participate because you love a crowd, and I'm telling you, this doctrine will separate you from the crowd. You won't run with the herd, you'll run with the few. and it seems that they're going the opposite direction. I have gone at least 90 degrees opposite where I went or were going before. Now, let me say this. That I will not have you ignorant about it. That you should be ignorant of this mystery. Now, we're talking about mystery Babylon and Arabia. What is the mystery? That's the mystery right there. Here's where Babylon, the whole system, shook hands or got in the bed. Remember, the Bible says she's committed fornication, and she slept with the kings. That's the power. King is symbolizing power. And these spirits that went out through the earth to deceive the very elect are working overtime in deceiving, and Christianity is no exception. So, if you think you're safe, if you think you know the whole story, you probably need to stop. Sit down, evaluate your position, and measure it against the truth. Now, what is the truth? The truth is that the revelation is that nowhere in Scripture, now this is a challenge to you personally, and I'm not being arrogant to make it, I'm just being as humble as I know how to present this to you, so that it will do you like it did me. It shocked me into realizing and coming to self-realization that maybe everything that you took for granted is not possibly true. The Bible said to try the spirits. Now, the spirit of mystery Babylon is right here. I would not have you ignorant of this mystery. Now, what is the mystery? Behold the goodness and the severity of God on them which fail, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Now, what do you want to add here? Well, everybody looks at this as the fig tree and the olive tree, and God is going to do a grafting, and he's going to do a switch in the nature of the trees, and he's going to cause one to grow where the other used to grow. And then at the proper time, in other words, when the time of the genealogy is fulfilled, God himself will graft a piece out of that tree and take it back to the fig tree. That's what I was taught, that's what I believe, that's what Christianity teaches from stem to stern, along with a rapture on top of that. That, you know, the Christians will be raptured out, and the Jews will go through the tribulation. Why? Because the Jews have rejected Christ, so therefore Christ will punish them because they're burned up. Let me see if that holds up under the scrutiny of the Word of God. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. Now, there it is. That's where they get the teaching. A grafting in, back into. Now, here is the dilemma here. Because, let me read 25 and 26 now, and I'll show you the dilemma that most people have never considered. I didn't consider it. I took it for granted that the scriptures in its teaching would confirm what I was saying. Now, it's like the old saying, if you have to read it or hang them, a lot of them be swinging because they can't read what they really teach out there in Christianity. Now, is that saying that all Christianity is wrong? No, it's not. It's a good breeding ground for those who would like to know the rest of the story. Now, to get there, you've got to love Yahweh more than you love your food, your house, your wife, your land, your children, your husband, or maybe even your own life. So there's a demand to come full circle to where you can come to the top of the heap. It's like the old saying, if you churn milk long enough, you're going to get better. Well, the Father is wanting the cream of the crop. And that's all he gives you, but he will draw from all of these factions upon the earth, all these religious systems. Almighty God draws because there are serious men and women involved right today in denominational churches. Very serious. They give their tithes faithfully. They pray. And they listen to the preacher and tell them, some of them do their own study. Well, you don't want to get too far in your study, because if you do, you may begin to learn some of the things that the preachers preach that stand in the door, will not go in themselves, and would hinder them that would go in. Have you found yourself in such a dilemma? I know that probably in my 30 years of teaching, I knew that I was right. I fasted more, I prayed more, I fasted more. But you see, that was just stepping stones. All those intense desires. And the Bible said that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, what's righteousness? The truth. Now, what's truth? A simple layer. Oh, my. I know now that I used to be in favor with my church denomination. But now I fell out of favor because I've learned by studying, by praying, and the fasting I did back in the denominational system when I was in it, it began to pay off with knowledge. Now, no wonder Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Therefore, since you reject knowledge, I'll reject you. You see, a lot of these people are rejected and are as the briars, they are to be burned and ready. It'd be better for you not to know the way. So, if you hear this message tonight, you need to take into account that nowhere in the scriptures does it say that the Jews are God's chosen people, or that one of the patriarchs, Abraham, who was the father of Israel, and Jacob, or Isaac and Jacob, the three descended sons to whom the covenant was given, because in the seed, it was the covenant was given to Abraham, but the promise was given to the seed, which was Isaac, which at the time was in his loins. So this is a faith venture that Abraham, not having a son, being old and stricken in age, was promised a flesh and blood son to inherit everything he had. And the Bible literally says that true to the promise of Almighty God, Abraham gave, now listen to this, this is an amazing scripture here, and don't take this very lightly because it is in a, if you will, it is a type of Christ, the inheritor or the kinsman redeemer that I told you about last night in Great Mystery Babylon. Christ came to save us from the mystery. And blessed are your eyes for they see. So if you know who you are, one of the greatest blessings that you'll ever receive or have in your possession is the ability to know who you are, to know where you're from, and to know where you're going. Now, if you know who you are, then you will probably know who they are not. Now, the Bible said here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, and 3, verse 9, very easy to remember this, that I know that you have been led to believe by certain people that say that the Jews are Jews. Oh, my God, what he's talking about here in simple terms to break it down to your common language. I know that there's a lot of preachers going to be preaching that the Jews are God's chosen people, but they're not. These are liars. And if they're out of the synagogue or out of the church of Satan, what I'm talking about in that mystery, Babylon the Great. You know, the Seventh-day Adventists, you know, they got the big idea that Rome was a whore. And then they have plastered Rome from stem to stern, that the Roman Catholic Church is the great whore that corrupted the whole earth. And that they saw the mystery because Rome was the one that changed the Saturday Sabbath to Sunday. And that's like getting out of a frying pan into the fire. Because the same name that Rome promoted, this Greek god, Jesus, is the same one that the Seventh-day Adventists and others like them went to court in the bed of denominationalism. Well, we're coming back on that at the bottom of that, Pastor Bailey, and this is the message tonight on the mystery Babylon the Great. I'll be back to bring you part two. Don't go away. Thank you. come back in there, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pash, your buddy. You're listening here tonight with us in Shepherd's Corner. We're on the subject, mystery, Babylon the Great. I'm in the 11th chapter of the Romans, and I'm going to read you verse 25 and 26. Remember, now, we're talking about the grafting in of them that would be partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Now, remember, there is no mention anywhere that the tree would be any other than an olive tree. Now, the olive symbolizes Israel. The word Israel symbolizes 13 sons in the kingdom. Now, for those in the nation called Israel since 1948. Remember, the true sons of Jacob, the Caucasians, not these Asiatic-looking mongrels that profess now that they're Jacob's blood because they adopted the Jewish religion. Now, that's where the whole world has been deceived by they that say they're Jews and are not. Or they that say they're blood related to Jacob. That's what that means. Now, if you're blood related to Jacob, then you could possibly be out of 13 sons of the original bloodline. Now, let me repeat that. 13 sons. Two of these sons were adopted sons by Jacob. These were Manasseh and Ephraim. So then we have a total in the sacred circle of our worship center. We have 13 in the circle. 12 in the circle and then outside. That's 13. So then, everyone is represented to direct this. You would ask the question as you go over to the land they call the Holy Land. And ladies and gentlemen, there wasn't nothing holy about it as described in the scripture. The Bible said where the Christ son was crucified, they called it Sodom. A cage of every foul and wicked spirit. Why? Because they killed him. Now, why did they kill him? Because they said, this is the imperator. Come, let us kill him that we may have the possession. Now, Pharisees, who were, have proven this over and over and over and over and over. I was on the Clay Douglas show the other morning, and some young man called in from, I believe, down in Florida, and he asked me to explain to him and to the listeners what First Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, was talking about. And so I expounded on Chronicles 2:55 in this fashion. And it's talking about a people that claim to be God's people. Now, we're talking about, in this case, the Pharisees. And they claim to be children of Jacob. You know what Christ said to him in the 8th chapter? You are of your father, the devil. Now, you notice here, the scribes, which were the instructors of the word, if you will, they were called Kenites. And if you look at that word at the Strong's number 7017 in the Hebrew, which means the descendants of Cain, the Kenites. Now, you hear a lot of preachers about the Kenites, but they won't come out and tell you that these are the illicit, these are the fornicating seed that Christ was speaking to in the 8th chapter of John. So then, when you go to Israel today, you say, well, are you from the tribe of Benjamin? Oh, no, I'm a Jew. Are you from the tribe of Joseph? Oh, no, I'm a Jew. Are you from the tribe of Asher? Oh, no, I'm a Jew. Are you from the tribe of Naphtali? No, I'm a Jew. Well, are you from the tribe of Simeon and so forth? Oh, no, I'm a Jew. And it goes on and on and on in denial of what it says here in the 25th verse of Romans, chapter 11, verse 25. Now, why? Because Christianity, the unclean spirit that come out of the mouth of a false prophet. Now, listen to me well. Out of the mouth of a false prophet. When they declared themselves, they took it upon themselves that they were masters of understanding the scriptures and giving the distinction of a birthright to the Jews rather than to the house of Israel. Mistake number one. This became a tradition from long ago with a misunderstanding of ministers that weren't called and qualified to preach the gospel to the flock. They weren't qualified because they had graduated from some seminary school and had learned to make nice, pleasant presentations with the oratory style that they were trained in and entertained the people for 200 years. Ministers of truth were forced gradually out and became what we know as street preachers. I started out, by the way, in 1962, preaching on the streets right here in this little town that I still live in. 1962. Preaching on the street. And the Alapio song, preaching by the wayside out on the street. People come along making fun of me. They ain't changed a bit. Why? Because I didn't have a voice inside the denominational wall system of where they shut out the truth. They close the door. They won't go in themselves and will hinder them it would. That is where I'm talking about. The great mystery begins. Now, if you solve the mystery here, if you come out knowing who you are, then you shall know who they are. And now let me read you here. I would not have you ignorant of this mystery. At least you should be wise in your own conceits that blindness in part, now think about that, has happened to Israel. Blindness in part has happened to Israel, not the Jews. So then, the Christian church gives up the pastors and says, oh, Israel is blind. The Jews are blind. But they think that the Jews and Israel is synonymous, and it's not. The Jew, the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Yahuda, is only one tribe in the circle of 13. One. Now, if the lump of Judah is holy, and we were broken off from Judah, and then the other tribes went on their way, where are the 12 tribes scattered around? Where are they? Is there a return for them? Will they come back to the Father? Will they learn their identity? Will they find out how to overcome the line, as Christ stated in the Greek in Revelations 5 and 5? Can you see what I'm talking about here tonight? Can you develop the spiritual instinct and break free of the mystery of Babylon and come out of my people and touch not this unclean, filthy, adulterated, fornicating spirit that they place upon your mind and then they bell it real quick and they seal it with tradition? To the point that they'll kill you, literally thinking that they're doing God a service. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this thing gets very, very critical at this point. Now, there shall, in the last days, according to the Bible, in verse 26, so all Israel shall be saved. Now, let me repeat that. Not just all Judah. You say, well, there's no difference in Judah and Israel. Well, yes, there is. There was a house of Judah and a house of Israel. Now, which house was blinded? Pause for emphasis on this thought. The Bible here specifically says by the Apostle Paul, where 99% of the preachers have misquoted by giving the Jews the distinction of being blind when it's not the Jews at all that are blind of anybody. They see more than anybody. But it's the house of Israel. And therein lies the dilemma of the mystery of Babylon. Come out of her. Now, how do you come out? You have to have eyesight. You have to have someone to show you, like the old eunuch riding in the chariot, down through the desert place, and it symbolizes a dry place where there was no water. And Philip joined himself to the chariot, and if you want to read who Philip was and where he was from, then Christ discerned him when he were sitting under the fig tree. Now, let me show you what a symbolizing metaphoric message that is. Here was Philip sitting under the pharisaical fig tree doctrine when he should be over under the olive tree with the house of Israel. And we met a man named the Mighty One, Yahweh Shua, the Great One. When he met him, he told him who he was and to come out of her. He left, now let me show you something. He left the 42-year building temple in Jerusalem. He quit going down there. He wasn't welcome anywhere in the temple, along with the other 12 that followed the Messiah. There was only 2 out of that 12 that were welcome. Judas, who was from the slums of Jerusalem, in South Jerusalem, in the land of Judah, he was from the Pharisaical tribe of the Canaanite bloodline of Judah, and the Canaanite woman that he wed and had offspring by became the Shemites, who became the Pharisees, who became the leaders, and the blind began to lead the blind. Who was blind? Israel. And we fell for this lie from the word go. I told you and proved to you that the deception came out of Egypt, which symbolizes darkness, not a metaphorical standard of darkness. When we came out with this mixed multitude as they were family members. They married into the bloodline of Israel. They infected. Satan wanted to get his genetics. That's how the fig tree of Judges chapter 9 said, I will love them. But you know what the olive tree said? Should I leave my fatness and my position and my place? Because I don't have to rule, I get it by birthright inheritance. That's what the olive tree said in the 9th chapter of the book of Judges when he gave the parable of the trees. But the bramble bush, the bramble bush said, yeah, we'll rule over you. Now, you know what the bramble is. You know what it signifies. It's full of thorns. Christ warned us that the seed would fall on good ground, some on stony ground, and some would fall among the thorns, and right there is what he was talking about. The three unclean aspects of the mystery of Babylon the Great. Right there it is. Christ would tell us. Now, he said, when he concluded the parable to his apostolic brethren, who were Galileans, by the way, with the exception of Judas, he said, explain to us this parable here. Who is this wicked one that sows the seed among the wheat? And ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever seen anything, if there's ever coming out of bondage, if you ever want to break through, and some of these preachers that talk about the great breakthrough message, if you want to break through the veil of the seed and enter into the light, understand exactly who that bad seed that was sowed among the wheat. Who were the tares? How did they get in there? And how did they function? And how did they deceive the Lord elect? All simple. When Satan placed his seed line, Cain, when Cain's daughter, a direct descendant of the blood, the corrupted blood of Cain, who was of that wicked one, when he placed this beautiful young woman down there where Judah saw her and lusted for her and desired her and went into her and impregnated her with three sons. Yahweh killed the first two because they were wicked and would have killed the third one had not Judah took it upon himself to hide him and to keep Tamar from obtaining the third in line for her bloodline. And so this Shelahite, as his name was Shelah, from the blood relationship of a marriage of Shelah and Judah, this Shelahite became the Shelahites and the Pharisees and the scribes that Christ so vehemently hated and spoke out against, and they hated him. And rightfully so, because he was telling them they were born of fornication, meaning blood relation. They were blood mixed. They were polluted blood, having unclean spirits. Now, let me tell you something, a little of them will leaven the whole lump. When you're cross blood, when you're cross blooded with the evil or the wicked one, just one drop of that blood will pollute the whole bloodline until there's a cleansing, and it takes generations. And, of course, for the Moabite and the Canaanite and the Hittites and all these other that were direct bloodline descendants of Cain, there was no entrance into the temple. Forever. And then we got our white mothers and daddies giving their sons and daughters permission to marry and to mix and to mingle with everything in the multicultural system of encouragement to mix our blood and mingle it to a point that somebody has got a diabolical plan and plot to destroy the very existence of the house of Jacob. And it's not those Asiatic slum-ass Jews that are there in the sandbox parading around as God's holy chosen people and propped up and supported by the Christian or Christian sympathies on the government of the United States, which have been made also to believe that they're supporting God's holy people. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in for a rude awakening when the truth is finally coming out. It will eventually. Because if you go back to hear where I'm at in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, and let me give you a scripture. Therefore, Yahweh, the Lord, was very angry with Israel. Now, let me show you something, that the house of Israel and the house of Judah are two separate houses. You don't get this in your mind. If you don't, you never solve the mystery. Here's the mystery of Babylon the Great. Israel was renewed out of his sight, 721 B.C., to the Assyrian kingdom, and there was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here Israel, that is the 10 northern tribes, were migrating out. They were took into captivity bondage for breaking the covenants of Almighty God. They loved the system of war. They wanted a king to be over them. They loved taxation. They loved to pay usury to strangers. They loved to be in bondage. They wanted to go back to the onions and the garlic. And the vegetable sacrifice of Cain. And remove themselves from just weights and balances. And to become the tail and not the head. You asked for it and you got it. The father removed them, and he kept Judah here. Only Judah remained in Palestine. Now notice verse 19. And Judah kept also not the commandments of Yahweh, but walked in the statutes of Israel. And so then, verse 20, the Lord rejected all of the seed of Israel and afflicted rescue them and deliver them into the hands of the spoilers until, here we are, he casts them out of his sight. Now, we are in the prodigal son position of eternity. We're in the hog bin. We're the tail. We've been evilly treated. We've been lied to. We've been abused. We've been in bondage. The denominational system of Christianity has deceived us. These deceivers have received a very strong delusion to believe a lie and to deceive the elect. Why? Because it's written in the scriptures that it will until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, 1 Kings, 2 Kings 17, verse 24, and the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cuthah and from Ava and from Hamath and from Shavarium and placed them in the cities of Samaria. Now notice Samaria. Remember the Bible said that the land of Samaria, which was Galilee, had seen a great light. And unto you this day in the city of David is born unto you one called Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, that city of David was the city of modern day 2,000 years ago, had changed its name from the city of David to the city of, called now, the city of Ephraim on the modern maps. This city of Bethlehem, Ephratah, has been completely, purposefully removed from all of your eyesight to keep you dumbed down to think that Christ was born in Bethlehem, Judea. That the lie of the serpent and the devil is very crafty and very cunning and laying in wait to deceive. Do not be deceived by the wicked one, and come out of my people, and touch not the unclean thing. This is the message tonight. I will continue part three. Mr. Bob on the break tomorrow night. We're counting down to the end of the month. We'll depart here on Truth Radio. You will not hear the voice of the shepherd's call anymore after the end of the month. So then, this is sort of a farewell in the next few days that we've got to speak with you and to tell you, each individually, how we appreciated you and the time we've been on this terrific, wonderful place called Truth Radio. It's an outlet that we have encountered many wonderful men and women. My joy, if we had got one, I would have been overwhelmed. But we've got more than one. We have got several that are now in allegiance to the teachings of identity. They know who they are. And for that cause, we rejoice and count it all joy because of the tribulations, the many sacrifices of both men and women that have supported the shepherd's call, both with their tender offerings, to contribute in our walk and our outreach team. So we're grateful. And this is sort of our farewell messages to you. And we're warning you as we depart to come out of Babylon. Now, if you would like to call me tonight, do so. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, I'm in a remote location tonight during the show, and but I'll be home reading my message on voicemail. And we will speak to you. Let's phone ring four times. It'll pick up. Leave your name, address, and your telephone number. Say hello, and we will get your message, call you back. You can email me, buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, at www.gap.net. Or you can write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's up 37824. Now, if you'd like to contact my sponsors tonight, that is Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack. Dr. Gary's number is 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. Until tomorrow night at 8 Eastern, I'll see you on Truth Radio. Yahweh bless you.
Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise God.